What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Suplexity Geeks. This is episode, 15? Okay, yes, episode 15. There we go. Joining me today, I got Brian. What's good,
dude? What's up? What's going
chilling,
on?
Chilling, man. Chilling. Chilling. It's been a crazy week for the wrestlings and shit. Because that's what we do. We talk about wrestlings here. You know how we do. You know how we enjoy the wrestlings. And we talk a lot about it because there's a lot of shit going on within the wrestling world. So why the fuck not talk about it? Because that's what we do here. So we kind of left off last week or the last episode, which was 2 weeks ago. We kind of left off on the episode basically reaching out and trying to see what are some of the
the top returns.
Yes, the top returns in wrestling,
or even second chances in wrestling.
Right. Yes, because we've been thinking about, you know, well, the last time we were talking about it was who was it that returned or that we were thinking about returning and stuff like that.
I want to
recap, I guess.
Well, I guess to recap. It's been a long 2 weeks. I want to say to recap it. It's like we saw the return. Well, I guess the re-return of Edge.
Yes, that's right.
The re-return, you know, because like he's no longer heel Edge, and he even like put on Twitter like, "I'm sorry, I doubted my fans." Yada yada, you know, playing up the kayfabe. Mm-hmm. And the kudos to, like, that's someone who really knows his fans.
Yeah.
You know, and knows his fans, knows the business, knows how to do everything right when it comes in terminology on the social medias. So, you know, we had this whole, like, House of Purple thing, which credit to you, sir, for that name. It'll always stick. And then, you know, it was like interesting to see him like, it was interesting to see him like drop Metalingus and go with, still Alter Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Blanking on the track off the top of my head, but, it didn't last very long. Cause it's like 3 weeks into heel Edge, you know, in House of Purple, he gets betrayed by the team. Who was it? Finn Balor was the one that they like recruited. Mm-hmm. And when I lost.
After they had Damian Priest and they had Rhea Ripley, they wound up recruiting. Well, not essentially, they didn't recruit him at first. They beat his ass and then he jumped over and took over.
Yeah.
Or did he really take over? Because isn't Damian Priest the leader of
Damian Priest is the them? Yeah, Priest is the current leader right now.
Okay.
But you see, this is them still trying to figure out a whole faction that was still under the realm or the helm of Vince McMahon.
Right.
Because this was still tail end of Vince McMahon still running the show.
Mm-hmm.
Scandals were just starting to pop up.
Yep.
And then they pretty much said, well, we don't know where to go from here. Mm-hmm. And then, I guess Edge himself was like, well, I'm going to take time to be with my wife and kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sure, heal a nagging injury or two, because, you know, he's like, what, 49?
Yeah.
And, you know, take time to be a dad, be a, you know, and just like, if you, and that's why, like, I think that's also why the heal thing didn't work, is also because, like, if you go back and just see the way he is with his family,
mm-hmm.
he's such a loving, down-to-earth person.
Mm-hmm.
That like when it comes time for heel persona to come out, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's different where, I mean, sure, Roman Reigns, for example, he plays the part better as a heel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, not gonna lie, despite, yes, I'm so tired of him being a champion.
He's good at it.
He's good at it. He plays the part. He knows that's a man that reads the room.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is also the fact that, like, the whole reason I think that they did switch him over to a babyface role is because there were too many heels there. There weren't any real babyfaces around.
This is also true. Yeah. This goes to show you how not into WWE I've been in a while.
Yeah.
You know, I'm such a mark now for AEW that I forget that I grew up with WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, F really, but
yeah.
E.
Yeah.
And those storylines that were a thing worked better when that was the era that it should have been in and not the era it's currently in.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and how many more times can we have the same recycled storyline, the same, I'm going to use the term abnormally large person.
Yeah.
Fighting the guy who's
in power. And by abnormally large person, we mean like a jacked motherfucker in the ring.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
For example, the guy that we all fucking can't stand, Ryback.
Yeah. Yeah.
The biggest loser and piece of shit in fucking wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, at the time, forgetting about what he tweets, what he says, all this other shit, at the time, Ryback was the guy because he was the guy that can literally go in and break people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what they were looking for. They were looking for that. But
same with, like, Goldberg and stuff like that. Goldberg was another huge individual that, even though he didn't have the greatest fucking in-ring persona, like, he was still over because he was a big guy.
Yeah. And he also still fucking knocks himself out when he...
Yeah.
Oh, Goldberg. Fucking Goldberg. So when it comes down to things like this, it's like, this is why I'm so out of tune with WWE. So, like, but then going back into what we're saying with top returns, people that are in the ring now, for me, well, actually, I'll start with you. I'll save my two. Who would you say are the top people that should technically not be in there, but for some reason, their drive gave them a second chance at being the best that they can be?
Well, one of the first people that I can say is somebody that doesn't really show up on, like, the big, big screen, like we don't see like on WWE or like AEW, is PCO. PCO, who's been around for a long fucking time. He was in WCW a long time ago. But he is now currently in Impact Wrestling. He's been wrestling there for the last few years. But for a while, he pretty much was a worker. He was there for a while, but then he just disappeared, didn't do anything. And he just had a resurgence within the last couple of years. I'm going to say like within like the last 4 or 5 years, going back and forth between ROH and then eventually joining over on Impact. And he's had a hell of a resurgence because he's fucking great in ring. And this dude is close to 55 at the moment. And he's going hard. He's going hard. He's taking some of the illest bumps. Like when I went to go see Impact in Orlando a couple months ago, he had a match against who was it? Steve Macklin, who's another badass fighter over there on Impact, and he took one of the craziest bumps on the rampway into the ring. Yeah, he took a crazy bump there. People thought that he broke his leg when that happened. Then he also wound up getting hit by the stairs. He does a suplex off of the top rope onto the rampway.
That's wild.
And insane shit that you don't expect an older gentleman to be doing in the ring.
Yeah.
So if you haven't checked out Impact, go watch fucking Impact. It's actually, they put out some really good fucking wrestling. Check them out online. Check out PCO because he's fucking great. He's currently part of the Honor No More, which is a bunch of people that jumped over from ROH when ROH pretty much ended before the resurgence of ROH. But it's a great faction. They actually do a really good job over there. Maria Kanellis is essentially the lead of the group.
Oh, good on her.
Yeah. But then it's also Mike Bennett, who's her husband.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's there. Vincent's there. Vincent, who used to be in ROH as well. Mm-hmm. Matt Taven was fucking fantastic in the ring. And then a few others that, of course, off the top of my head, I can't remember. But Honor No More is really good. And then also PCO's part of them. And this is a really good faction over there in Impact. And there's a lot of good factions over there. There's a lot of good wrestling. So like I said, go check out Impact, whether it's on the YouTubes or if you're watching it on Access TV. It's good shit. Do you have one? Do you want to give up or you want to wait? You want me to wait? You want me to finish up my list and then you go yours?
Yeah, we'll do that route.
Okay. So another wrestler that made his debut after 11 years of not being anywhere near a ring is fucking Sting. Yeah. Haven't seen him in a fucking bazillion years, and then you see him coming over to AEW this past year. And
so we're not gonna count his WWE run.
No. Why would we?
right.
Yeah.
He essentially made appearances and had like five matches that were really. Be careful! The old man can't take bumps.
Right, but then you see him now in AEW jumping off rafters onto tables.
Multiple tables. I love it.
Yeah. He's like, look what I can do. He's doing the fucking steward and shit. He's doing so much shit nowadays that is fucking insane that this dude
at 63.
Yeah.
He just turned 63 like a couple of months ago.
Yeah. He's doing crazier bumps than when he did when he was younger.
Yeah.
Cause first off, like when he was doing the younger wrestling back in WCW days, mm-hmm. It wasn't as hardcore and as like death-defying shit as you see now.
Not at all.
So, yeah, you got the table spots from time to time again. Before even, like, tables, ladders, and chairs and shit were introduced. But you got the occasional, like, oh, yeah, he broke a table or whatever. Or the chair shots or whatever. But not like now.
He's literally jumping off the rafters through tables.
Yeah literally. Like I was at the Revolution where he jumped off from the entryway.
That's right.
On top of Andrade, that was literally two tables off the floor.
That's right. I forgot you were there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. Two wrestling events that I've been to where two old ass fucking wrestlers are actually doing some badass shit.
See now. With that being said about Sting, gives me high hopes to wonder what the fuck's going to happen at Grand Slam night in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be insane, dude.
Which I'm still, like, New York City weather, like, mm-hmm. you know, the other day felt kind of hoodie weather.
Yep.
And I'm like, ooh, I could almost break out my AEW hoodie again.
Yes, do it.
Then I can't wait. I can't wait to buy merch. I can't wait to buy a BCC hood.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even I'm gonna save up my next. Now that I have a job, I can't wait to save up paycheck and fucking buy some merch.
Do it.
You know, like get a shirt, get a fucking hoodie, maybe mm-hmm. two hoodies. Maybe there's gonna be a different logo for AEW. I don't know.
Yeah.
But seeing Sting do all this shit now, and how excited you are about Sting.
Mm-hmm.
and him being on your list gives me super high hopes to see what the fuck's gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know, because last year when it came down to, for example, one of my favorite in-ring performers, young guy, not to be part of this list, is Sammy Guevara.
Mm-hmm.
We love Sammy.
Yeah.
But I got gypped into seeing him perform because he got attacked by Miro.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, man. So, I'm excited to see something go on with him, but I'm mm-hmm. super excited to see if they have the old man, if they let the old man fly.
Yeah. Yeah, for real.
Right?
Yeah, hell yeah. And then I guess the final person that I have on my list, with returns or comebacks in a way, is Cody. Cody returning to the WWE at WrestleMania this past year.
Yeah. In full on American Nightmare. It wasn't like, oh, he's Stardust again.
Yeah, no. He came back with his name, with the theme that he had also in AEW.
Yeah.
With the same gimmick, the same homeland around outfit
mm-hmm.
carried over. Fucking fantastic. He's not only just that, but also putting on a hell of a fucking match against Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing. It goes to show you that he does have these goals within the WWE, of course, because he hasn't been there for years. And seeing what the possibilities can be. Unfortunately, he's out at the moment, of course, with a complete shitty injury. But we'll see.
The memes him slowly turning in him slowly morphing into Thanos.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see now that Vince is gone, what mm-hmm. Triple H has in store for Cody. Because obviously he knows Cody is a fantastic performer.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and he's going to give him, of course, complete control over his own character.
We can hope so.
We hope so. Because we know Vince wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Cody, you're the American nightmare known as Stardust. You know?
God.
No, that character's a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what they have, is in store for him on his return. And oh my god, just fan theory. How awesome would it be if he's the one that defeats Reigns?
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Oh yeah, they announced this week that I think it's on Sunday on SmackDown that it's gonna be the 400th day of him being the champ, or the 200 the 2 year anniversary of him being the champ.
That's insane.
On SmackDown this Friday.
So what are we looking at? We're looking at, let me do math because my brain hurts right now from still figuring out the whole MCU thing from our from our main show.
So we're not going with Steiner math on this one, are we?
No.
Okay.
That means he's celebrating 730 days as champion.
Yep.
You know, okay, now I get it. It took me forever, but now I know what they're doing. They're sort of erasing Hogan's record.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know, because, you know, Coke Hogan, you know.
Coke Hogan, yeah.
Coke Hogan, you know, they're pretty much saying, well, the real American, it's not exactly a, you know. Nice guy in real life.
Yeah. Not the best.
And, you know, eat your have your vitamins. you know, and say your prayers that you don't say your prayers that your fucking heart don't give out from all the coke.
Mm-hmm. Or like in Meat Trip when he's fucking sniffing the Adderall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. Oh man, go back for those listening. Go back and watch. Go back and listen to the ICG main show episode 307.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Cody is a good pick. Because his return at Mania was fucking...
It was surreal.
It was surreal. Because yeah. I never thought, considering this is the guy that helped co-create AEW and make it mm-hmm. into what it is, mm-hmm. would be back with the so-called enemy and, you know, or not really enemy, but competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the true competitor. And I love how it's all like, oh, WWE to AEW, like AEW is no competitor. I think they are.
Yeah.
Especially they're
big time.
This is a company that really should have fizzled out during the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
but did everything in their damnedest to not do that. And look at where they are now.
Yep. A fantastic product.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your two return comebacks?
Return comebacks. Number one, well, the true number one, I'll say for next, but number one out of the list is going to be Bryan Danielson.
Hell yeah, dude.
The American Dragon himself, because he, in its sense, was a return story because mm-hmm. and I you guys could find the article I wrote a couple of years back when he had to retire, and then you could find the revised article I wrote when he managed to come back, and they're both on the Inner City Geeks main website. Mm-hmm. When Daniel Bryan had to retire due to his neck and everything, and I was just like, no. Like, that sucks, because this is somebody who was just insanely fucking good in yeah. ring, you know, and been wrestling for a really long time and just been a fantastic in-ring performer. And then him becoming the general manager of SmackDown was cool to see him at least on TV again, you know, but it wasn't the same.
You know, I hated that WWE was doing that. They were just making these talents just be a talking yeah. head on the stage.
Well, it was better than the fucking anonymous general manager. Yeah. And also better than the celebrity guest appearance.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the exception to the rule being anytime the cast of fucking Jackass appears.
Yeah, yeah, that's always good. That was always
because
good.
Because Knoxville versus Zane was like match of the night at Mania.
Absolutely, absolutely.
That was just great. So, with all that being said, when he had to step down from in-ring, it sucked. And then him being on TV, at least in some form, was great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then, you know, rocking them fancy cardigans and all. But then, like... we got to see that enough was enough, and he got, you know, he got cleared finally, mm-hmm. and he was able to, I mean, we all know that he was stepping outside the ring there and going, hey, I'm seeing other doctors.
Yeah.
And the only doctor that didn't want to clear him was one of Vince's people.
Mm-hmm.
But then you later got to see him progress in the company again. It was like, great. Mm-hmm. And then what happened? They really took his character and they just kind of just mopped the floor with him.
Yep. They buried him real deep.
Yeah. And then...
because I think it was after that WrestleMania match that I was working at Raymond James that it was a decent match with him against Edge and
Roman Reigns. Because it was the whole like it was the whole thing where Reigns double pinned Edge and Danielson because mm-hmm. like they just kind of threw, and I still remember being so pissed off that they added him to the match
yep.
because like it really should have been Edge versus Reigns and, you know, Edge get a title,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they did that whole Edge wins the Rumble and then it's like they did nothing with it.
Yeah, exactly. They did nothing with it at all.
Yeah. Which leads me to my number one would be Edge returning after a literally career-threatening injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember that Raw like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
I still remember the actually I still remember being at my friend Kyle's apartment before he lived in the house that he's in now. With a bunch of friends who I'm still super close. They're like, you know, outside of the Inner City Geeks family, like they're my other family, you know. And we all watch, and we have the Royal Rumble pool, and it's like, you know, you put in a couple of dollars and whoever's number wins the Rumble wins the pot. And not sponsored by DraftKings.
Oh, that's fair, yeah.
You know, So side note with that, I love how as soon as gambling became legalized, it's like, oh, DraftKings is like everywhere now.
Yeah, it's legalized in certain places though.
It's
still not legal in Florida, so I can't place any bets on FanDuel or DraftKings.
See, it's legal in New York City, so I'm shocked. Legal over there. I'm shocked that the off-track betting horse racing is not back yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old men and the cigars.
Mm-hmm. No, but the thing is, like, there's a horse racing track, right? Literally, like, 5 minutes from where I live right here.
Hmm.
But yet, online gambling isn't a thing. We do have the Hard Rock Casino down the road from here as well. So, yeah, as far as online shit, that's not happening.
Right.
Yeah.
So my number one pick being Edge, at my friend's place, Edge winning the, you know, Edge coming out of nowhere, you know, and winning the Rumble, was something, that I still remember going, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, him winning the title again. Holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. And then him having to step down because had he taken the slightest bump the wrong way, he could have been in a wheelchair for the remainder of his life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then watching the documentary on him and the comeback, and seeing that, like, you know, while he was in the process of retiring, that he and Beth Phoenix became an item and now they're married with kids, you know, like Edge's speech still gave me chills. Him going up the ramp with his mom, and doing, you know, the Edge, you know, fingers in the air.
Yeah.
You know, and then just going back and just seeing, that he managed to do this, like, surprise. I mean, nobody knew he was coming back.
Oh yeah, for course.
I mean, outside of like Vince, Shane, and Stephanie. And I think Hunter, and that was it. Because obviously they needed to be in the know. I still remember that I was in my old apartment in Brooklyn. The kids were about 2.5 months shy of being here. And then... I had a couple of friends over at my place, and my wife had just gone to bed shortly before, you know, Edge made his surprise, debut. And I still remember the screams of holy shit, holy shit, holy shit, like almost tears down the face. Like, how is this possible? And Michael Cole yelling out, he shouldn't be in here.
Right.
And then, like, to see how good he looked coming back, and then you go back and watch, and then you go back and watch that documentary and seeing all the work he put in. And the biggest thing was he had a GoPro on his bike. He's mountain biking with Sheamus, who was one of his best friends. And he took a spill down the mountain, you know, like on the hike, or not the hike, but the path. He was like, little Sheamus was like, you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm actually good. And that was like, hey, you know, maybe my body is healed enough where I can potentially do this again. And, you know, and just go back and watch the documentary. It's on Peacock.
Yeah,
it's definitely worth it. And you see everything. And it, you know, two of his other closest friends is FDR.
Yeah, because they live.
You know,
didn't they say something about them living like down the block from them and shit?
Something like that, yeah. Dax and Cash and Beth Phoenix all help Edge train and get the ring rust off, which I think is incredible. And like and then we got to see the return of somebody who really shouldn't be in the ring today, who looks healthier than ever. You know, and as he yelled out 3 years ago almost, he's at the best shape of his life at 46.
Yeah.
You know, and now we have the man who is hinting at an actual retirement next year. He'll be 49. And it's like, you know what?
No, next year he'll be 50.
Right. Yeah. Next year he'll be 50. And so like he can end his career at 50 and put his boots in the ring without having to say, I'm doing this because I'm going to be paralyzed if I don't.
Yep.
You know, so that's my all-time return because like that, because it also proves that like, it's kind of motivational in a way, you know, and it's that, that was also one of the reasons why I decided to say, fuck this. I need to get in shape because like, I don't want to be a fat fuck for my kids.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair.
You know, like I want to be able to run around and chase after them and I can now.
But it all needs is just hard work and dedication to it.
Yeah, exactly. Just don't expect progress overnight. It takes time. And like I even you know, before we get into the rest of the wrestling, like I looked at the picture of when you were here. And like that's like my, you know, the motivational pic because the next day I started.
Yeah.
And ironically, I was wearing the same shirt last night, and my wife took a picture because I have a friend who's going through some stuff. So, and I was like, "Well, you should get back on the DDP thing because he's done it in the past." And like, I showed him a picture from last night, and it's so night and day. Like, my face is thinner, my body is trimmer. But the thing is, the pictures don't show you. I'm literally not winded anymore.
That's good.
Yeah. And like I can fold in half if I wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, I skipped DDP yoga last week due to the fact that I was working like a madman. And today I honestly didn't have time, but that's why I took the walk and it was steps in and whatever. But like back at it tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Every little bit counts.
Yeah. Because you know what? And aside from, like I said, aside from being, you know, wanted to be here for my kids and being able to run around and chase after them. And not be winded. The whole thing started. We're saying, well, somebody who nearly was one bump shy of, you know, not being around anymore, can get back into a shape, you know, that's not, you know, out of shape and whatever. It's like anybody can do it.
Yeah, anybody can.
It's just hard work and hard work, motivation, and dedication. You know, and. And this is why I believe in when DDP, who not in a wrestling career comeback shape, he's definitely in the best shape of his life, at least since his WCW days.
He's doing shit that he couldn't even do back in his WCW days.
This is true. This is very true.
Because he didn't get his break until, what, 39 almost? 39 or 40?
Yeah, I think it was 40.
Yeah, look at that.
So the two best things he says on his yoga class is that one, take back your life, which is truth, and in my opinion, one of the best lines out of the two is if you say you can or if you say you can't, you're right.
Yeah.
And it's just words to live by, and you just you know, it just gives you the focus to just say, I could do this. You could do this for a minute. Okay, cool. You could do this for 30 seconds. Okay, cool. You could do this for 15 seconds. Okay, cool. Just try it.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, those are, so that's my, my pick, my picks anyway.
Oh yeah.
I'm surprised
you actually didn't pick, your boy, CM Punk in the returns.
Well, I was more so second chances, but returns itself. But if I were to compare again, which I did in the past, when I did it before the show was a thing, I did it on the main show, and then I think I sent you it privately. I'm still living in Staten Island.
Yeah.
If you listen to the crowd, because I watched both clips back to back of Edge returning at the Royal Rumble 2020 and CM Punk returning to pro wrestling for the first time in 7 years when he surprised us all by actually joining AEW. Where the crowd is very, very loud when he showed up in the Royal Rumble, right? But when Punk showed up in AEW, the crowd, even on a lower, on the lowest volume you can put on, the crowd is fucking deafening. And you're just like, okay, holy shit. True. That's a return.
Yeah.
But, and you know what? Him showing up a couple of weeks ago, when I was at work and you would like stay off Twitter.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Title for the episode tonight, stay off Twitter.
Yeah, stay off Twitter. Yeah. And that's completely fair. It's the truth. It's the truth.
It's the truth, because you never know what's going to go on, especially in today's...
Especially if you can't watch it at the moment.
Yeah.
Stay off, because you're going to be spoiled. And if you don't want spoilers yet, just stay away.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do this wrestling thing.
Yeah, so this past week we got a shit ton of wrestling, and actually, a lot of it was actually really fucking good.
Yeah.
Like,
I watched a couple of highlights. I didn't get to watch any of the main shows, really, outside of Dynamite, because life got in the way. But that's watch a ton of clips online when it came down to WWE, which I need to try to figure out how to watch Raw. At least at some point, maybe do like a replay, or I might just set my. I know what I'm gonna do tonight. After we're done with this, I'm gonna set my YouTube TV DVR to record Raw and SmackDown.
Okay.
Because it'll be something I don't want to watch it during the time where having time with the wife, or if we're recording or whatever, or I'm at work like I do with Dynamite and Rampage. Mm-hmm. But like at least. It'll be recorded and I can get to it. Because now that it's Triple H, who was one of my favorites since the start of his whole... I mean, obviously, I wasn't a Triple H fan when he was like the Royal Prince Triple H Hunter. Know, that gimmick was bullshit. You know, like the time he nearly killed a guy with a pedigree. But, obviously DX and whatnot. And
the Attitude Era.
Attitude Era Triple H, yeah. Mm-hmm. When he went from Hunter Hearst Helmsley to Triple H, like, okay.
Yep.
And seeing that he's bringing the brand into really good hands, and making the locker room morale go up by 1,000+%, I'm all in.
Yep.
So, with that little thing being said, let's talk wrestling. Let's talk
last week's main events, I guess you can say. We had Raw last week, of course, on Monday, and of course, with the new regime in play or whatever, we got some pretty decent matches on fucking Raw. Two of which were fucking fantastic, one of them being Kevin Owens against basically having a open challenge. Kevin Owens and Chad Gable was like, Chad Gable was actually the one that that had the open challenge. He's like, we're done wrestling just anybody, or just whoever's in the back. So we'll have an open challenge. And then Kevin Owens was like, I'll do it, being that he is he wants to fight, because of course what we enjoy is seeing Kevin Owens just bust ass. But he's so fucking good at what he does.
Hell yeah. We all prefer this whole fight Owens fight version of Kevin Owens.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And he put on a hell of a match against Chad Gable. It was so fucking good. He defeated him, of course.
Yeah.
And then not only just that he did defeat them, but afterwards, Otis was trying to interfere and, you know, beat him up afterwards. But that didn't happen because Kevin Owens just decimated the entire Alpha Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. It was absolutely fantastic. I love seeing Kevin Owens just be Kevin Owens and just fight like a motherfucker, which is fucking great. I'm glad that, you know, it's back to that version of Kevin Owens instead of just the funny comedy guy that we've had the last few months, I guess we can say.
At least a few months. Yeah. But you know what? At least this is, going back to me saying that it's great that Triple H is now running the company, mm-hmm. because like when Kevin Owens was getting ready to possibly leave and not re-sign his contract,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then it's like, well, he was clearly unhappy and they did whatever they could to keep him, but at least he no longer has to deal with that whole, well, did I make a mistake thing?
Yeah.
Because now you have the Kevin Owens that fans love. Mm-hmm. this is the Kevin. I mean, I still remember the Kevin Steen days of ROH, you know, mm-hmm. and the man fucking fights. Like, he's one of the best in the fucking ring.
Yep.
And it's just like one of those things where, like, how do you take somebody that good and just bury him, just put him in the bullshit?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, oh, because we want, he doesn't fit the mold of what we are brand new. No, fuck that shit. Like,
he's one of the few dudes that you can see in the ring that is wearing a shirt while he wrestles.
Yes. And I love that. And I love that his shirt's always like duct taped versions of what the shirt was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, obviously, like, it's not real duct tape. It's like the laminate done, but the design, the logo is that of, like, it's, you know, crossed out, and it's like him in the, you know, but Owens,
it reminds me of me when I go to the beach.
the fat guy wearing a duct tape shirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Seeing the way he is now, it's like his character is far better than the whole, like, I know it's you, Elias.
Oh, God, yeah. I am glad that has pretty much
come to an end.
Yeah.
Because I wonder now with Elias being out of action, if it's really, or Ezekiel being out of action.
Mm-hmm.
If it's really them going, hey, this didn't work, can you grow your beard back?
Probably. That's probably what it is, which I'm totally fine with it.
I'm totally fine with too. And you know what? And I want more music because that album was fucking good. Right?
Yeah, it was. It was.
You know, and what is the whole, I mean, obviously Walk with Elias, WWE was a fantastic thing. But what was it? You got to, like, speak with Zeke, or...
Yeah.
Zeke speaks, or...
Yeah, it's... I didn't really pay attention to those.
You got to seek leaks? I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah. Shit reeks.
Shit reeks. There you go. Yes. I like it.
So...
Yeah. Episode title right there. Spoiler alert. Shit reeks.
Yeah, but Kevin Owens is a badass, and I'm glad he's back as regular Kevin Owens.
Yes.
He
deserves to be the fight Owens fight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not the bullshit. Not that whatever the fuck it's been for the last couple of months.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Then we also got on Raw. We got the return of Johnny Gargano.
Johnny Wrestling.
Yes, Johnny Wrestling returns to Raw with, like, no type of anticipation. Nobody said, oh, yeah, he's going to be there. Dirt Sheets didn't say anything about it because they didn't know either.
No, he just He just literally surprise.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And like, and you know, and this is something I really love about professional wrestling today,
mm-hmm.
is that you have these stars, whether they work for AEW, ROH, mm-hmm. Impact, or WWE, and they're friends, and they're allowed to be.
Yep.
Because I feel like this whole thing didn't really fly well with Vince.
No, they didn't.
Because, I mean, who doesn't love toy hunting?
Yeah.
And then we go back and watch toy hunting with Ethan Page,
mm-hmm.
which are honestly some of the best fucking videos on YouTube today.
Absolutely.
Like, outside of all the Myers and Cardona ones,
mm-hmm.
the major action figure wrestling podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it before when they were both WWE? I forget off the top of my head, but
I don't remember. And, I wasn't watching at that point.
True. What was cool with that is they actually went to my boy Juan's place in Cali. Shout out to Comic and Figure Addicts if you're in that area.
Nice.
Union City, Cali.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So shout out to them. Really awesome spot. I got to be in there once when I was in San Francisco in 2018.
Nice.
But I know Juan a while. I know him for a couple of years. Okay. Solid guy. Nerdy as fuck about wrestling and comics.
Very cool.
Yeah. So they went to him for one, which I thought that was great. I was like, it's about mm-hmm. fucking time. It's the video where Juan, they finished recording the whole thing and there was a small snippet after because he sold Cardona the $400 or the $300 four pack of the Ghostbusters from Mezco.
Ooh, okay.
Which Cardona was walking out and was like, wait, what the fuck is this? I had no idea this existed.
Nice.
It's great. So outside of their toy hunt, the Ethan Page one is one of my favorite ones.
Absolutely.
But it's great because like Page could, non-WWE, it's like Page could hang out with Cardona and Myers,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they're boys for forever because they've traveled the road and granted, mm-hmm. Wrestler A versus wrestler B have this biggest heat in the company.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what they're scheduled to do and that's what fans want. Mm-hmm. But fans also like the respect that they can actually be best friends outside of the business.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's why I really love watching Ethan Page's videos.
Because he not only just like is he getting these big names, he also gets mm-hmm. a lot of the indie wrestlers on there too.
Yeah, but the point I have
like this on this last week's episode, he had a Warhorse on it.
Yeah, but the point I had with this whole thing is that three videos ago he had Gargano mm-hmm. and his wife
mm-hmm.
and the Gargano baby Gargano and
Candice LeRae. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, like,
baby wrestling,
and Gargano, Gargano just looked like he missed wrestling.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know the way he was just talking about things on the show. I'm like, this guy misses wrestling, and
mm-hmm.
and it's just like, you know, you felt bad for the guy. It's like you don't know where he wants to go. You don't know what we all thought he was going to join, anything but WWE.
Yeah, that's what we all thought.
Yeah. We're like, okay, this guy's going to show up somewhere. But you know what? The fact that he was able to show up in WWE as mm-hmm. Johnny Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked good. He looks so fucking healthy, too.
Yeah, of course.
You know? Like, I'm like, all right, this guy's ready.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I want to see this dude in ring again. Like, I miss watching him wrestle.
Mm-hmm. I cannot wait for the day that he goes up against Austin Theory.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
Because that's essentially what we saw at the end of his promo. because Theory came out and he started talking shit to him or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, for him being, of course, what was it? He's not even a champ anymore. He just has the money in the bank or whatever.
Right.
Which he has gotten him nowhere with him just having the money in the bank at the moment. Nothing's come out of it.
Because you got to figure, like, that whole thing was because Vince McMahon was his guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what was it? Rain said, "Daddy's not here no more."
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah.
And it's like, oh.
You're like, oh, Bendita.
That's still so fucking great.
Yeah,
fucking great. Daddy's not here no more.
Uh-huh. And then but then you see fucking Rhea Ripley wearing "I'm your daddy now" shirts.
Yeah, she's rocking. Bobby. She's rocking the Eddie. And but I love that she's rocking the shirt, especially around Dominic.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like, oh, yeah. You mean Dominic Guerrero?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the kid has a mullet now.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Mulatino Heat.
Yeah, Mulatino Heat, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. For real, though, shout out to Eddie, man. I miss him.
Yeah, for real.
Big time. Like, can you imagine what he would be doing right now in this whole involvement between like Mysterio's and this whole like Edge thing and whatever?
Yeah, it'd be absolutely insane.
Yeah,
yeah, but yeah, I'm excited to see what Gargano's gonna be doing. Also, another match that was pretty awesome on Raw was the Priest against Edge. Was awesome. Damian Priest against Edge was fucking great. It was a great closer of. It was a great main event for Raw. They had go back and forth. And
I like awesome. That this guy. I like that this guy's getting pushed so quickly too. Because yeah. Like Priest showed up in Royal Rumble 2021,
mm-hmm.
And that's just dominated, man.
Yeah, he's good.
He's fucking good. I mean, and this is the guy that trained Bad Bunny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know how incredible Bad Bunny was in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, dude, why are you not a wrestler?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah. You're like an award-winning, chart-topping, you know, performer. But it's like, you could do both.
Yeah.
Like this dude could
And now he's an actor, too.
Yeah, which I can't wait to see Bullet Train.
Yeah.
But, like, this dude literally can fucking do anything. And it's fucking great, but Damian mm-hmm. Priest is such a good fucking performer.
He really is. He really is.
And he's only gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how much better can this guy get?
Yeah, he's good, man. He was good before he joined the House of Purple.
Oh yeah.
And like just seeing him on his solo run was pretty good. It of course went nowhere. Because they just kept having him as, you know, a low carder, you know, and just doing random things here and there, and it just went nowhere. Of course, he had like a banger of a match in fucking at WrestleMania with Bad Bunny, which kind of pushed him even further. Because of course they were like, yo, like he did that good then. Let's see where else he can go.
I would love to see him in like in a future title reign.
Oh yeah, for sure. Even if it was just like the mid Carter ring, Carter like title or whatever, whether it's the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title, which they're trying to push hard too.
Intercontinental title, which is basically the second version of a world title.
Yeah.
And there's really no difference.
Yeah, it really isn't. Which is it's fucking weird.
That's why, That's why, like, any of, like, the major players back in the day, like Jericho and RVD, for example, mm-hmm. who held that title a long time and multiple times.
Yep.
It's like, but you're technically already world champions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But We'll see. But, yeah, Raw was awesome. Raw was actually really good. It was actually really entertaining. Which leads us to NXT the next day. Which was okay. There's still, you know, a little ups and downs within NXT. But the biggest part of NXT that was awesome was that Wendy Chu and Trish Stratton had a lights out match.
That's great.
So, you know how they turn off the lights before, you know, the lights, the start, the match starts. What they did for this one is that they turned off the lights, but then they had the lights dimmed.
Hmm.
So it was kind of like they were in the dark the entire time. But this was a fantastic fucking match because, of course, you know, it is essentially a hardcore match.
Right.
So they had the they had an awesome essentially a table spot, but who was it? Trish Stratton got run through a bed frame, like a wooden bed frame. Cause this girl's Wendy Chu's essential gimmick is she likes to sleep all the time. Shows you she has a bed over by the ring and everything. So she had a bed frame outside the ring, and she used that at the table. It was fucking awesome.
Nice.
But the highlight of it was that in the pillowcase that she usually carries around, she had this stuff with Legos.
Oh, wow.
And the Legos were served essentially like thumbtacks would have served. She got Trish Stratton got powerbombed onto Legos.
Okay, I did see. I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the actual match, but like I saw like images on Instagram of the Legos on the ring mat. I'm like, what the fuck am I looking at?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and then Wendy Chu did the Vader bomb essentially on Trish Stratton on the Legos and won. Great fucking match. It was really damn good. I enjoyed that match the most out of anything that's happened on NXT. Of course, Dexter Lumis came back and actually met up with the girl that he was with before. I forget her name.
Okay. Yeah, I forget.
He got back with her or whatever, but then he also was like, yo, like, I'll be back or whatever. He gave her a note. They made out and shit, and then he basically gave himself up to the cops outside, and then he got arrested.
Huh.
Yeah. But then going back to I was looking online before we got on here that he was on Twitter. He showed up on Raw again. So it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with that. But yeah, NXT was decent.
Was he one of the ones that was released?
Yes, he was one that was released. He also, during Raw, I forgot to mention, he kidnapped The Miz.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I saw the highlight for that, too.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, so he's been stalking The Miz, and we originally thought it was going to be AJ Styles because he kept showing up for AJ Styles matches, but AJ Styles is having a huge feud with The Miz. So, yeah, he wound up kidnapping The Miz last week, which is very interesting. And then, of course, this happened now. But then going to AEW Dynamite, great fucking night in Dynamite. The Daniel Garcia and Jericho moment was actually really fucking good, which led to essentially Jericho. What were you gonna say?
I was gonna say I thought it was great when Jericho made that all about him.
Yeah,
you gotta apologize to me.
Yeah. Like, I made your career. Why are you doing this? Why are you not, you know, on my side? Why'd you try to give him a handshake you should be, you know, thankful to me instead?
But it goes to show you how incredible Jericho could be.
Hell yeah, dude.
This is a guy who's reinvented himself over and over and over again to still be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a washout.
Yep.
But it also goes to show you that he cares so much about Garcia in real life that he's putting him over.
Yeah.
That he's like, you're ready to be on your own.
But the thing is, like, he doesn't necessarily need to be put over because he's fucking good.
He's fucking that dude's mic skills, Garcia. I mean, his mic skills, mm-hmm. his promo was so heartfelt.
Yeah,
that I was like, okay, I know I'm watching fictional television,
mm-hmm.
but like, holy shit, like, I'm relating to this so much right now. Like, you are meeting your hero.
Yeah,
you know, and I feel like this is honestly working better because. I had mentioned previously, I forget if it was on the show or if it was like just to you private, but like about sort of a recycled storyline because they just sort of did this with The Miz and Punk.
Right.
You know, and like The Miz had the shirt or Punk had the shirt with, no, it was Miz had the shirt with them, their picture on it.
Mm-hmm.
And not Miz, MJF, I mean.
okay. Yeah, I was trying to figure out.
I was like, wait, what? All pro wrestling seems to be bleeding into each other right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what it is, Steve? My brain still hurts from that MCU thing.
That's fair. That's completely fair. We're almost done.
So, I feel like, yeah, it's a brain cloud right now.
Yeah.
So MJF, in the whole Punk thing with like, you are my hero, yada, yada, yada. And so I was kind of like, well, they're sort of redoing the storyline with this. But in a way, it's really not, though. Thinking more mm-hmm. about it, they're doing something a little bit different.
Yep.
But the whole back and forth between Jericho and Garcia,
mm-hmm.
and then Daniels, Bryan Danielson, his real name,
mm-hmm.
coming out.
You had it right the first time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like him coming out and like, you know, saying all that shit back and forth, and then when Garcia left the ring and it was Danielson and Jericho, and you know this is probably why because.
But even just before then, when Garcia was like, "Yo, like, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to walk away," and Jericho tries to grab him, and Garcia just pushes him down to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah.
But then, like, I thought it was great, and I'm glad it wasn't just me that caught the flub where Danielson nearly said
Daniel Bryan. Himself. Yeah.
And that's why it sounded like, because I had to rewind that twice, because mm-hmm. when he said that, you could see he corrected it into saying the word damn.
Mm-hmm. That's smart thinking right there.
That's smart thinking indeed. And without cracking a smirk,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see Jericho versus Danielson at All Out.
Hell yeah, dude. That's going to be a great fucking match.
Did they ever wrestle when it was WWE? I forget if they've ever had a match.
I think they probably did. I think they wrestled. I'm pretty sure they had wrestled a few times in the past, but I don't remember because at that point I wasn't watching.
Right.
Because a lot of the Daniel Garcia, the Daniel Bryan stuff, like I'd never really watched. I watched a lot of Jericho, but I didn't like when Bryan Danielson was around or Daniel Bryan was around. I wasn't really watching.
Right, you primarily got back into wrestling when AEW was a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, once AEW like, became a thing, that's why I started watching wrestling.
Because, like, I mean, as I've said in the past previous times, one of the main things about AEW that got me was that that thing at Comic-Con in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
When there was so much energy in just that panel alone.
Mm-hmm. It's sold. It's a seller right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that was a hell of a promo. That was a hell of a thing. And then that was, then what was the next thing after that? Was the fucking, the Punk Moxley match for the title.
Right.
For the unification title. Which turned out to be a squash.
Yeah. Punk got fucking dominated.
Yeah. Because Mox is the fucking man. But I'm pretty sure it was a work.
Yeah.
And we're going to be getting them again at All Out this weekend.
And honestly, I think they're going to keep it on Mox.
I would hope so.
I mean, Punk, we all love Punk, right?
Yeah.
I mean, CM Punk, especially seeing CM Punk now as a professional wrestler for the first time since he left Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
Not the jobber that was the straight edge society, you know,
yeah,
whatever bullshit, you know, thing they had him do at fucking, mm-hmm. you know. And like, honestly, he's somebody today that he, because of the hatred or the back and forth with Triple H, he would not be in that company despite Vince not being there anymore.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just think back to, the, you know, because, right, he's the doofus son-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And the infamous pipe bomb that got the mic cut. Which is still one of the greatest fucking things Punk's ever done.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just the whole, I don't give a shit that I work here. I really don't fucking want to anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking fire me, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, but that whole thing.
Yeah, and then having Mox afterwards, after the match. Yeah. Pretty much saying, like, yeah, was that supposed to happen? Am I not supposed to be the champ? Am I still supposed to be the interim champ? He hated the fucking title that it was the interim
movie. Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. I think not only for character, but in real life, he just fucking hated being interim.
Yeah.
He loved that he had a title, but he didn't like that it was with a title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, let the man have a world championship reign, you know, again. Because, right, yeah. He was champion in the beginning of the company.
He was champion during the pandemic.
Right. He defeated Jericho for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let him have this title for a while. Especially because the Moxley that was champion during the pandemic and the Moxley that we have now is a different guy.
Yeah. Big time.
You know, he's in a better mental capacity when it comes to, like, the love that he has for the business, for his family.
Mm-hmm. He's also sober.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it's the only thing he has a craving for is a thirst for blood.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
I love it, too. And, like, I mean, and this whole thing right now, especially because, like, the BCC.
Yeah.
They all have titles, really.
Yep.
Except for Danielson.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, at least he and Yuta have titles.
Yeah.
No. Claudio won. Yeah.
You got the ROH title. You got the ROH championship.
Right, right. He devoured Samoa Joe. I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
Who apparently is due for a return soon.
He might be back tomorrow on Dynamite. By the time this episode goes up, it's today. Maybe back today on Dynamite.
Here's my enthusiastic yay.
Yeah, but yeah, dude, it's very promising to see Mox as champ again. I cannot wait for his run to continue. I love it. I love it.
I mean, you could have him feud with Punk as many times as you want. You know, just keep him as champion for a while.
Yeah.
Give Punk the title down the line.
Yeah, give it back to him later. If he really wants it later. I don't know if he really wants it.
I mean, for all we know, he won the title just to be like, hey, this is for you guys, I'm a champion.
Yeah, yeah. I did it once. I held it for a while.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't know. I mean, we don't also. I mean, also, like, get a look at the future. Like, how much longer does he really have?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, not just that. How much does he really have? But how long does he really want to be in the ring?
Right.
Because he's been venturing, doing a lot of other things. He's been acting. He's been doing a bunch of other shit. So
he's been fucking. I mean, there was a short period where he wrote fucking Fantastic Four comics.
Yeah.
You know, which I never read, but I'm sure they were good. But the bottom line is he can do anything. And the fact that he was also one of the fight coordinators for fucking heels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he basically trained the main cast.
Yeah.
Or helped train.
He was also a shitty UFC fighter.
And then Was it you that sent me that picture of all the places that he always failed in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Left in Cleveland, got defeated in UFC in Cleveland, lost the title in Cleveland.
Yep.
Apparently, if you're CM Punk, stay away from Cleveland.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but another thing that was kind of sad on Dynamite was that Thunder Rosa pretty much came out saying that she was injured and she wasn't able to compete at All Out this weekend.
Yeah, but also I'm hearing that like she's a bit of a bitch backstage when it comes down to talent.
It could be that she's a bitch, but it's also the fact that like she knows what she wants, and she wants what she wants at all times. So does that make you a bitch if you want a specific thing? Or does that just make you somebody that is determined to get what you want no matter what?
I don't know.
Right. So I don't know. But from what it is, it's not just that she's a bitch or whatever. It's the fact that like she is a good champion. I'll give her that much. But she got injured. She's been going hard because she does AEW, but she also does a lot of shit on the indie. She also has her own promotion outside of AEW. So she does a lot of shit outside of there. So she's hurt. She's working hurt. And from what they were saying is that she has like a disc problem in her back.
Yeah,
because she went on Busted Open over the weekend, basically saying like, yo, like she could barely walk the next day.
Yeah.
Which is sad shit. So she has to get surgery on it. And of course, you know, it takes time to regenerate and heal and shit. So,
you know, and what sucks is that like, you know, you and I both said we kind of want her to drop the title.
We kind of do, but we kind of don't at the same time.
But this is not how I wanted her to drop the title. I want her to actually be defeated.
Exactly. But who knows? Who knows? Because now, of course, they're going to be doing another interim title, but this time it's going to be a women's interim title, which I'm kind of getting tired of the interim titles.
Me too.
I'm kind of getting tired of it.
And this is where I think WWE does it better. They relinquish the title, and then they have a thing, and that person becomes the actual
title. But at the beginning of the promo, she kind of said, like, I have to relinquish the title, but then she was like, oh, no, we're going to have an interim champion.
Yeah, I'm kind of over this.
Yeah, I'm kind of over it too. But we're getting a four-way match for the title.
And, you know, before this whole four-way thing came out or came about, the rumor was the over-under for Toni Storm was looking really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which
I'm not surprised because Thornton's
not me neither.
She's good. She's great. But for who we're getting at the four way, it's going to be former champ, DMD, yep. Dr. Britt Baker, as well as her stablemate, Jamie Hayter.
Yep.
Which is going to be interesting to see their go back and forth in the match. Are they going to help each other out as they go? Of course, as we mentioned, Toni Storm and former champion as well, Hikaru Shida, who held the title for the longest. She's the longest that's held the women's title or any title in AEW for that matter. She held it for over 300 days.
Oh, wow.
A little bit more than 300 days. Yeah, I think almost a whole year because she held it throughout the pandemic until a little bit afterwards when she lost it to Britt Baker.
Right.
But yeah, that is going to be a hell of a match. I am excited to see who's going to come out of this, especially now because, of course, whoever comes out of this will wind up going up against Thunder Rosa in the long run or whoever has the title by then whenever, you know, Thunder Rosa returns. So that's going to be pretty exciting. I'm excited to go with that. And then it continued on with the Trios Championship or whatever, the tournament that's been going on. And we got a banger of a fucking match.
Oh, that was great, yeah.
Between Death Triangle and the United Empire. United Empire is fucking great. They're from New Japan. Will Ospreay, Aussie Open, against Pac and the Lucha Bros.
I mean, Ospreay, I mean, I've only ever seen probably like two matches from him, but holy shit.
He's fucking great.
He's fucking good, man.
He's not good. He's fucking great. He does so much shit in the ring that you're just like, slow down. You're going to kill yourself before you get old. Because you're just seeing him doing all these high-flying flips. And.
But meanwhile, he's one of these guys that are like, he's so well.
He's precise. So well trained. He's so well trained. He knows what he's doing at all times in the ring.
It's always precision timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so fucking good. And then just when you think that that they were gonna win, it didn't happen. I was expecting the Lucha Bros to actually come through and win, but they
didn't. Same.
I was expecting that, but that didn't happen. We're finally going to get Ospreay versus Kenny Omega, or, you know, Ospreay and Aussie Open against Kenny Omega and the Elite.
I cannot wait for that match.
Yes, that is going to be amazing.
The fucking ring's going to explode.
Yeah, for real.
Because, like, just, I mean, getting to witness Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson at Grand Slam last year was a holy shit moment in its own, because that opened the fucking show, if you remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember.
And it ended in a draw with how good both talents are.
Yep.
And then getting to watch the Young Bucks do their thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And just watching the Young Bucks, I mean, shit, I've been a fan of them since ROH, since I saw them versus the Briscoes in 2007 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
At the Manhattan Center in the Hammerstein Ballroom. And so, like, holy shit moments galore.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
And then, I mean, still one of the greatest matches that they put on, in my opinion, for AEW, was that cage match against the Lucha Bros.
Yeah, it was great.
That was like, I mean, my brain hurts just thinking about that match and how fast-paced it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as we've said in the past, luchador wrestling is fucking fast.
Lucha's the shit.
I mean, and granted, yeah, they're a little bit slowed down for AEW.
Because
you have to, you need to slow them down for American wrestling.
Yeah.
But thinking about how the Bucks were able to keep up with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, despite cheating, of course, because that's who they were at the time. They were the major heels. But, like, seeing all this and then seeing these three talents as a trio going now up against Ospreay and the team of three talents who are equally fucking fast and equally talented, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Like,
that's true.
Like, my head might explode. It might just, like, literally pop off my fucking body.
Yeah. You might get an aneurysm and shit.
It's like, you know, my eyes are like going left, right, left, right, left, right, like a tennis match. But, like, times, like, you know, 10 times speed.
Yep. Yep. It's going to be great. I cannot fucking wait. Cannot fucking wait. And then that led us to, what was it? SmackDown last week. It was pretty fucking good, too. Holy shit. These shows have been getting better and better, dude. A couple of the highlights is that Sami Zayn is still trying to be with the Bloodline. And it's slowly becoming a thing that he's joining the Bloodline.
But he's not related to them.
No, he's not. He's infiltrating the Bloodline. Could this be something a brew here? Could it be Sami Zayn getting into the Bloodline to eventually join up with Kevin Owens again?
Ooh.
To go up against the Usos?
And win the tag title?
And win the tag titles? Because Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were a thing back in the day.
ROH.
They were a tag team when Sami Zayn used to go by El Generico.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Steen, they used to have a team together, and they were a fucking badass team.
Oh, hell yeah, they were.
So could this just be a way of this coming to fruition in WWE?
Interesting.
Yes, yes, yes. That is my brains at work right there. It makes me happy. I want to see this happen. Because of course, you know, I enjoy the Usos. They're pretty good in ring, but I'm kind of tired of the fact that they're just there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but also like Sami Zayn is doing his thing. He actually had a really good match against Drew McIntyre before this happened, and the Usos were helping him out throughout the match. So he's winning them over, even though one of them was giving him shit before the match. He was telling him, like, yo, like, stop trying to be like us because you're not us or whatever. And we can't do what we do, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But the other one was like, yo, like, nah, he's cool. He's cool. He's one of us or whatever. Because essentially he. And then at the end, you see, you know, the Bloodline all in the ring together over Drew McIntyre because they after Drew McIntyre won, they all beat him up or whatever. Even Sami Zayn came in with a Kaluma kick or whatever on Drew McIntyre in front, like on like the barricade or whatever, which was pretty dope. And then he also like held Drew McIntyre while the Usos hit him with the chair. Well, not the chair, with the ring steps.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. Oh, also, like, at the very end, when the Usos are and you know, this dude, Reigns, are posing, you see Sami Zayn just walk up behind them, doing the number one behind, you know, like the Usos or whatever. So it's kind of very interesting to see how this is all coming together. I want to see where this goes, where this story is going, because this is one of the fantastic stories that we're seeing in WWE right now.
So basically, it's like they took a dumb fuck Vince storyline, and Triple H was like, "Well, how do we fix this?"
There's potential.
Yeah.
But it was good. Another good shit that came out of fucking SmackDown was Walter, or as people call him now, Gunther. Gunther has the Intercontinental title.
Okay.
And Sheamus wants that title. So Sheamus walks out to the ring and starts having a promo against Walter. And I keep going back and forth with the name, don't I?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So Walter comes out with Ludwig Kaiser or whatever, and they start they're in the ring or whatever, and then Sheamus has his boys with him, Ridge Holland and Butch, and then they're having a stare down, and then Butch just starts beating up Ridge, what's his face, Ludwig Kaiser, and then the other dude jumps in, and this entire time they're fighting in the ring, but then Sheamus and Walter are just standing there staring at each other the entire time that all this fighting is going on in the ring. That just builds so much intensity. And I'm just like, holy shit, I want to see them fucking fight their asses off at the castle.
Yeah.
The Clash of the Castle. Because it's going to be a fucking banger of a match.
I cannot wait. That's actually a pay-per-view I'm looking forward to.
Yes, me too. That's going to be on Saturday, which is fucking great.
I'll be working, so I have to watch it after.
I know.
I'll stay off Twitter.
Yeah, stay off Twitter. That's like we said, that's the episode title, stay off Twitter. But yeah, dude, SmackDown was another banger of fucking wrestling this week. Oh, last week, I guess you can say. But yeah, dude, we're looking forward to all this wrestling that's happening right now.
Like, just the buildup of just the excitement from what you've been saying about these shows the last couple of episodes at SCG.
Uh-huh.
It's like, especially tonight, it's like I'm feeling like that kid sitting in my bedroom watching the Monday and Thursday, mm-hmm. or Friday, whenever the fuck SmackDown was originally.
It was Thursdays.
It was Thursdays. But like, sitting in my bedroom waiting for the pay-per-view to be on that mm-hmm. Sunday that I have to buy it for like $50.
Yeah.
And then like, oh, I got the illegal cable box.
Uh-huh. You got to press the button in the back a few times.
I literally got a hot box for Cablevision in the
mm-hmm.
90s
mm-hmm.
or early 2000s
yeah.
because of WWE.
Yeah, I used to have that box too.
Like, oh, I could watch WrestleMania.
Yep.
You know, so like...
Either that or watch Scrambled Porn.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Yay, Spice Channel.
Yay!
We're old.
Yeah, we are. But like, you know, like just all this excitement and like the energy, it's like mm-hmm. it's getting me to really want to watch this fucking nonsense garbage anymore.
Yeah, because it's getting some sense. It's having some sense.
Because Triple H is basically taking all the bullshit and seeing the life in there and going, yeah. Well, if we just mm-hmm. tweak this and do that, hey, look,
mm-hmm.
this can actually work again.
Yep. Yep.
And I love it that he and Michaels are heads of things now. And now Road Dogg is back?
Yeah. It's like DX is in charge.
It's like, okay, their storyline is done now.
Yeah. No, I know.
DX officially took over WWE. We're okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Their storyline came true.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
They infiltrated WCW.
Yep.
And then, you know, that got absorbed. And then it's like, oh, yeah, well. Fast forward a couple of decades.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have, it's still a thing. DX mm-hmm. literally fucking took over.
Yeah. The only one that's missing there is of course, X-Pac, Sean Waltman,
mm-hmm.
and Billy Gunn.
Well, Billy Gunn's too busy getting scissored right now, though.
Billy Gunn is having fun. That's what that's
oh, about. That's, oh my God. Like, That match, he versus Colton.
Yeah, Colton.
Yeah. And like, the thoughts I had during that match was like, okay, Billy Gunn is living the dream right now because he gets to actually pro wrestle with his kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a son that he clearly loves.
Yep.
And that he must have playhoused with so many times over that course mm-hmm. of that kid's life. And then, of course, help train him to become the pro wrestler that he is. You know, there was so much love in that match, despite the so-called feud.
Yep.
But then seeing him hanging out with the Acclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
And just loving every moment of it. Because, yep. I mean, we all know Bowens and Caster just have so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, so doing their potential thing. Yeah. Oh my God, I want to see them win the titles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Swerve and Our Glory is a great tag team, but
mm-hmm.
there was also that rumor that they were going to split at one point, and they sort of teased that like Swerve almost, you know, did whatever to Keith Lee to cost that match or whatever.
Right, yeah, yeah. The one, not just that, but like when they had the battle royale or whatever that's where he eliminated Keith Lee. That was where it all started.
Right.
Yeah.
So like, they're like one of those tag teams that really shouldn't be
Mm-hmm. That you weren't expecting.
Yeah, it's like one of those tag team title holders that we've seen in the past where they're like, well, you know, there's animosity between the members.
How the WWE was saying for quite a while was, how will they coexist?
Yes, pretty much. vintage Michael Cole right there.
Yeah, yeah. How will they coexist?
But yeah, it's like, yeah. It would be nice to see the Acclaimed be on top.
Oh, for sure.
Because, I mean, think about how much they've proven themselves over time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They've gotten better and better and better in-ring performing.
Absolutely.
I mean, forgetting about Caster's mic skills getting better and better over time. Mm-hmm. But, like, I mean...
They have so much energy.
Oh, my God. Amongst
each other as a team. They're so
fucking good. I cannot wait to see what they say about New York City.
Mm-hmm.
When they come out, I'm fucking totally... breaking out my phone or recording that shit.
Well, they're from there, so they can't.
Yeah, I know.
They can talk all the shit they want
because mm-hmm.
They're gonna get a pop regardless.
One of my favorite things Caster has ever said when you talk about being forced retired like Vince McMahon,
mm-hmm.
and Bowen's legit shock.
Yeah, yeah.
like holy shit! Or may not have been like legit shock from mm-hmm. just hearing it, but obviously they practiced beforehand.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But he was still like living that holy shit moment. We said this live.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So fucking good.
Yeah, real fucking good.
Yo, I gotta say, I fucking love wrestling again.
Hell yeah, dude! It's fucking good. There's a lot of good shit. Like within, because WWE has been a good thing. For just a month so far. It's only been a month since Vince said bye-bye. And we've been seeing things are turning and things are changing. And they've been coming better and better every week.
I mean, we didn't even jump on, you know, the potential rumors of Strowman showing up in WWE again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, we'll know more. We'll let you guys know more as we know.
Of course, of course. Strowman or fucking a Jonah, a former Bronson Reed.
Mm-hmm.
Them coming to some type of agreement with between Naomi and Sasha Banks coming back supposedly.
Yeah.
So much shit possibly coming up to WWE. So we'll see. We'll see what's happening.
You know what this is with WWE? This is almost like the celebration that the Death Star exploded.
Yo, for real. I didn't even think about that shit, dude.
Like, think about the dark side of WWE. Not even Vice's dark side of the ring. Like, dark side of WWE is like Vince was basically Vader.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Vader controlled everything and... Yeah. You know, fuck Vader. We're going to just call him Palpatine.
Huh, yeah.
Because Vader at least had a heart somewhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because you were right about me. But, like, Palpatine basically was in control of this company for the last 40 years? 40 years?
Yeah, give or take. Since the 80s, pretty much.
Yeah. But, like... Before then. I mean, the man literally covered up everything.
So much shit.
I mean, the whole fucking snooker thing alone.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's gone. Triple H is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And look how much changed.
Yeah. Within a matter of a month so far.
Within a matter of a month, people that are released are willing to come back. People that are, like... One day I'm going to join the WWE are literally happy to actually be there.
Yeah. A dude that actually started a whole promotion is thinking about going back. Or is in talks of possibly going back.
Wait, which guy is this?
Braun Strowman.
Oh, shit. I forgot he did.
He started Sin. Control your narrative.
Right.
With EC3. yeah. But yeah, that's a possibility of him coming over, so we'll see.
I mean, hints and rumors and all that good shit of the return of Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm. But there's always that's been a thing for a while already.
Yeah. I mean, so we all thought
whenever it happens, it happens.
Yeah. I mean, we all thought he was going to join the Dark Order.
Yeah.
I mean, this is 2 years. I mean, Brody Lee's gone 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
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 What sucks is that the Dark Order's pretty much become like a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is sad, but we'll see.
Especially with like how many people have left already.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, forgot to mention that the Dark Order actually beat House of Black this weekend on Rampage.
Huh.
Yeah, because main reason is that Miro interfered. Miro came out, and then that, of course, got, you know, the House of Black all flustered and shit. And then Alex Reynolds came up with a small package and won.
Huh.
Pinned Malakai in the middle of the ring. Which led the Dark Order to continue in the Trios tournament. And they're going up against the Best Friends next week.
That's going to be a fun match.
Yeah, so do we have anything else to add to the wrestling?
No, I think I got. I'm good.
Yeah, we went over a lot of shit. We've been on this show longer than we were on the regular show that we had a lot of shit on.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So make sure you guys go to InterestingGeeks.net where we've got a whole bunch of shit. Of course, we got this show. We also got the main show, the Interesting Geeks podcast. We also gonna have Interesting Geeks Turntable returning, where we talk about musics over there. So check that out. So we also have if you're interested in checking out the musics on Turntable, we have a whole playlist that we will have in the show notes. Check that shit out. It's on Spotify. It's 18 tracks over there. Spanning all different genres. Everything is fucking different. You go from Lamb of God to a Spanish song to a hip-hop song. It's just all over the place. So make sure you check that shit out. There's a lot of cool places over there, especially Fight TV, where you can get a whole bunch of wrestling stuff over there. You can even order All Out over there on this weekend coming. Yeah, so check the chat out. Then you go to InterestingGeeks.net. We got, of course, you know, links to some cool places, all that shit there, all the places in the description as well. You can find the show on SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Podcasts, and on motherfucking Spotify. And then you can also find the show on the socials, on the Facey Space, or faceyspace.com/InterestingGeeks. Twitter, InterCityGeeks, Instagram at InterCityGeeks. Where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on social media, too. You can check me out at Bry2JPresents.com. If you'd like to check out a lot of really cool stuff like blogs and whatnot, check out Bry2JPresents on YouTube, where you can see all my latest toy videos. Check me out on social media for Twitter and Instagram, Bry2JPresents. So it's basically Bry2JPresents, Bry2JPresents, everywhere that you can think of.
Yes,
and I'm almost positive I have a TikTok, which I haven't used in forever.
Ooh, ooh. Okay. Very cool. Then you can find me on the Instagram and the Twitters as well at Mr. Jackal, MisterJackal. So thank you guys for listening. We appreciate the fuck out of you. Thank you for all your stuff, and we wish you the best in your future endeavors.